For June 19th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It's Jeff Robbins, and it's episode 16 of the Drupal podcast. Today we have an interview with Dries Boytaert. Dries lives in Antwerp, Belgium, and he's a PhD student at the University of Ghent. And he is the guy behind Drupal. He is the project leader currently, and the guy that started it all way back when. And we've got an interview with him. I should also mention that if anyone has any questions or suggestions, ideas for the podcast, questions for us, questions for Dries or anyone we interview on the podcast, give us a call. You can call +1-877-LULLABOT. That's 877-585-5226. And that's a toll-free call anywhere in North America. And you can also call it via Skype Out, which is currently free, or Gizmo. Or any of the VoIP services. So we'd love to hear from you and get your ideas for the podcast. All right, here's an interview with Dries Boytaert.
Close. My name is pronounced Dries Boytaert, and Dries is Dries actually is, you know, the closest thing in English is like trees, like trees in a forest, but then with a leading D. that's how I try to explain people how to pronounce my first name. My last name, Boytaert, is slightly more difficult, and I don't have any mind tricks or any tricks for that. So it's just call me by my first name.
Okay. So let's talk about Drupal. I mean, that's what we do on this podcast. And you are the guy. You're the guy. That's like the Drupal guy. So how did Drupal start? Where, like, who were the people that started Drupal? And like, tell us sort of about how Drupal became what we know as Drupal now.
So basically I was in at the University of Antwerp, and I was living in a student dorm. We set up sort of a network with friends, and like we had a wireless bridge across the street, and then we had Ethernet cables across some buildings. Because of this network, we needed a mechanism to leave each other notes and to, you know, just share information. And so I started writing a simple message board, which was partially because we needed it and partially because it sounded like an educational experience, because I had no experience writing PHP. And after a while, we sort of had our own little community, and we shared each other fun notes, like a little bit like a /.website or something. Like we passed on interesting websites internally. And then the same year, I graduated, and so I moved out of the student dorm, and so I decided to make or move the internal web board to the public internet, and I registered a domain for that, which was drop.org. And basically, like, our little community sort of died. we lost track of each other partially, and you know, we moved on to other interests. And for me, I kept working on it, and it's the topic of the things I posted about shifted from just about anything which we found funny or interesting to web development stuff in specific. And so we had a growing community of people interested in web technologies who were visiting drop.org, and they were making many suggestions about how I could change things or how things could work better and stuff like that. Like, for example, I was playing with stuff like RSS feeds, but also like things like content moderation, like voting or user moderation. And people would suggest ways to improve the ranking or the rating algorithms and stuff like that. And you know, at a certain point, I simply decided to that maybe I should open up the software so that rather than giving me suggestions, people would actually try and play with the software themselves, right? That's when I decided to make the source code behind Drup.org available as open source, and we choose a name Drupal, and that's how everything got started.
Ah, I see. So it actually started as the system that was running the website to start with.
Yeah, it was an experimental platform, and which was also used for that system, for that website, and yeah.
And how has the software changed since then? I imagine drastically.
It's been rewritten like 12 times. Yeah, it changed drastically. Like the very first version did have the notion of modules, for example. It used modules, but it didn't have a notion of nodes. We didn't have any, like the node concept was introduced in version 3.0, I believe. So, I mean, that's like a very fundamental change. And like that, there's been many more. Like the very first version, there were users. There was a user system, but there weren't any permissions, I believe. And there certainly weren't any user roles. So all of these major features, which we are used to now, they've only been added in later versions of Drupal. So yeah, it changed drastically.
Wow. So, I mean, one of the things is that Drupal now is so modular. I mean, you know, that there's all these hooks and the modules have all this control over even what happens at the core level. They can add things onto the user pages. Modules can add things onto the node pages and all these different kinds of things. I mean, what is sort of your view for, like, for Drupal? I mean, what do you on the website somewhere it said, and one of the things that kind of sold me on Drupal was that Drupal wants to do everything until it basically does everything and can kind of work in all situations. It's not done. I mean, do you still believe that one of the things I found was that, you know, stepping up from just sort of a blog tool to Drupal, which is this sort of complete CMS tool, it just becomes like an exponential growth. I mean, it's a huge, huge different thing. Do you feel sometimes like that's too much, how do you see Drupal handling that?
I don't think it's too much, but the fact that Drupal is very flexible and that it can be used in many different circumstances or for like many different kind of websites, it's actually a benefit, and at the same time it's a drawback. It's a benefit because it has so many uses, and it's a drawback because it's very hard to optimize Drupal for one specific target audience, or to actually design Drupal in a way you could design websites with a very single-minded focus. So it has both advantages and disadvantages. But to me, I mean, I really value the fact that Drupal is so flexible. And I think that's one of our key strengths compared to some of the other systems out there. And I've always been cool with that. And I've always supported the fact that Drupal is very flexible like that. I mean, essentially, the way the program or the project was, well, manages isn't the right word, but the way things went is we just let things go naturally. And as a result, Drupal sort of flew in many different directions at the same time, which is, again, interesting because like that we reach many of the niche markets markets, like Drupal is being used for campaign management. Drupal is being used in the e-learning environment or community. And I mean, there's so many different phases of Drupal. And that's, I think, the result of the way the project has been evolving over the past years. Everything is possible and everything is allowed. There is no rules and everybody gets to contribute to take Drupal in the direction he or she likes best. So,
right. So this relationship, though, between sort of managing it and at the same time letting it grow naturally, and I mean, but there are certain things like the sort of executive decisions that need to be made between, like allowing the code to be optimized, but also flexible. So, for instance, I mean, you know, when people come to you and try and add new hooks in to places where it might slow things down and stuff like that, I mean, this is where you're making a lot of the decisions about whether or not those things are going to happen. What's your view on sort of managing the project, and how do you handle a lot of that stuff?
Well, so first of all, I don't like the term manage, because, I mean, I've many different roles in the Drupal community, and most of them have absolutely nothing to do with actually managing people or managing directions. Like, if you look at the roles I do, I review patches. I try to help get new people on boards. And in case there is a conflict and decision needs to be made, I'll try and step forward. But oftentimes, the decision is being made by the community itself, and doesn't really require my intervention. Mm-hmm. So sort of
a democratic process where...
Right. And as I said, we really try to let things go naturally. And I mean, I try to listen to the community. And often, if you look at the reviews of the patches or the new features, most of the time, a decision is already being made.
Mm-hmm.
By the community, and I just go with the majority of the people's vote. But on some features or patches, there is a very mixed feeling about them, or like people can't. I mean, there is no agreement, and then in that case, it really helps when there is only few people who can actually make a final decision, because otherwise you end up debating about it for months.
Right.
So. It isn't really managing. It's more like coaching, and whenever something goes wrong.
And it's sort of a hierarchical democracy where in the end, it's only one or two, I guess, or four people who are actually able to commit anything in. So there's a little bit of politicking and sort of social. It's a really interesting, you know, when I got involved in the community, I didn't quite think about the sort of sociological aspect of it, and just sort of the aspect of the Drupal community itself. I mean, this software is talked about as something that, you know, you can build community websites, but it's also, there's the whole development community, and it's sort of interesting to see this software come together in this kind of organic way where everyone kind of works on it all together and ta-da.
It's we're the prime example of eating our own dog food.
And there's definitely that. I mean, the Drupal.org in a lot of ways has chosen to a real DIY, do-it-yourself attitude over using an external, something like a bug tracking system or any of that kind of stuff. It's all basically done through Drupal. How have a lot of those decisions come about?
Oh, good question.
it seems like it's a lot more, what's the word?
So why don't we use like PHPBB or something for the forums?
Exactly. Yeah. Or any of the number of bug tracking programs for the bug section or, mailing. it seems like Drupal sort of has big dreams. You know, it again, it really wants to try and be everything. And that's really a challenge. But at the same time, it's admirable.
Right. But, I mean, I think the reason is mostly technical, though. Like, if you want true integration of your website and your forum, or of your website and your bug tracker, the easiest way, or at least the best way to integrate both, is if they're both written with the sole purpose of being integrated with each other. And so hacking or trying to force a PHP BB or a Bugzilla onto your Drupal site will never get you the same results as a properly integrated module. Like there's lots of small annoyances, like people having to, like your users of your website having to create two accounts, one for your main website, one for your forums, and maybe even a third account for your bug tracking system. And then as an administrator, there is different administration pages, which are all themed differently. They don't look anything like the same. And so I think eventually the best integration is, by writing a Drupal module, you'll get the best results, I think.
Right. So. Now, also, I mean, and I've been talking about this other places, the Drupal is not just a content management system, but it's actually a framework as well. And so I think that some of these things, like the forums, maybe, or the bug tracking system, the project module, is a good example of something that's written on the framework, and doesn't really, it's not so much tied into the core, Drupal core, so much as it just sort of uses the framework to build on, you know, and sort of gain from all of the assets that Drupal already has.
Right.
Are there issues with the framework level where people want to do things in their modules that you might not want to do in core, where people are asking for expansion of the Drupal framework?
Well, yeah, they do that all the time, and often we will actually implement their suggestions, or we'll make sure that whatever they want to do is possible. So whenever you need to, if you're in a situation where you want to create a module for Drupal to add new functionality to Drupal, but if there is no easy way to make that possible, or if you're forced to hack your codes in your module to make it possible, that means that something is wrong with the core APIs. And so when that happens, people can actually suggest a patch or a change, and then we'll try and incorporate that in core. Because in my view, in the ideal world, people would not have to create hacks in their codes. And
right.
If something is not possible from your module, it means that we're missing an API, or that some of the existing APIs are not adequate to make things possible. So in that case, the solution is to refactor or change the way core works, or to extend the way core works. Of course, whenever people propose such an API or an API change, we'll have to, we might have to rethink some other things, or we have to try and clean up the other APIs, or like in such a way that everything fits nicely together in a clean and elegant fashion. So it might take a little while to get changes like that into core, but...
Well, that's one of the things that people talk about a lot with Drupal, is sort of how clean and elegant the code is, and also this idea that you don't need to hack anything. And we should probably state that again for people. It's like, don't hack Drupal. If you're hacking the code, you're doing something wrong.
Either you're doing something wrong, or core needs to be extended.
Right. Yeah, and so what are the problems? I mean, and these are the problems with people. People say, "Oh, well, I'm just going to make this little change to core and stuff." But then some security update comes out, or something, the new version of Drupal comes out, and you can't upgrade because your hacks will break everything. And
right.
But again, Drupal isn't designed that way, right?
Isn't designed
to be hacked. It's designed to not be hacked.
Right. That's yeah.
It's extendable.
Yeah, indeed. It's one of its main goals is to be fully extendable, and yeah, you can see that. I mean, it's working. I mean, like I said earlier, if you look at all the different modules which are being written and all the different scenarios Drupal is being used in, you see that actually working. And many of the people who want to build complex websites, they'll often go with Drupal because of that reason, the fact that it's easy to extend and easy to adapt to your needs. So
the new form API that got introduced with 4.7, I think, is a really good example of that. I mean, so now basically any form can be altered in any way. It's a little bit of a challenge to use. I always say that. It can be very frustrating. There are some things about it that I get very frustrated by, but I think it's a move in the right direction. Are there other things that are heading that way? I mean, what are other sort of future things on the horizon for Drupal? And are there other sort of sweeping changes like that we're looking to?
Well, there's some. We're exploring some theme system improvements, which will make it a lot easier to create themes, which will give more power to the team developers. And the way we're going to do this is by moving away from the theme functions, which are written in PHP and which are part of the module files. Instead, what we're exploring is to move the theme functions to template files, PHP template files. So in technical terms, this means that rather than having theme functions, as a default fallback mechanism for the theme system, we'll have PHP template files, separate files, which will act as a fallback mechanism.
Right. Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit on the podcast. It's neat. So basically, then themers will have actually separate files that they can manipulate by copying them into their theme directory. Is that how that would work?
Yeah,
and then editing those. That's cool stuff. So will the old theme underscore functions still work, or will they still be around, or yeah, will they just go away?
They will still work, probably. Right now, they still work. So we're trying to make that backwards compatible, at least for a while, so people have the time to migrate away from it. So,
right.
But maybe I should explain it a little bit more.
Sure.
How this affects the themer. So right now, if you want to theme a piece of content, which is themed by Drupal as a default, you have to actually look for a theme function in all of the modules. And then if you found the theme function in the module, you have to sort of extract it and manually convert it to a PHP template file, right?
Right.
So right now with the new system, if it all works out, is that you can actually just look at your file system for the template file, rather than having to look inside of the modules, and then rather than extracting the PHP code and converting it, you just have to copy the template file. So all you have to do is find the template file, copy it to your theme directory, and you can start making changes. So it's really a big step forward.
Cool. Yeah, that's
And it even has a number of interesting side effects, so to say. One of them is that, like that, we really force a clean separation between presentation an actual code, because if you're using SQL queries inside your template files, it will really show, right? Whereas if you put these in your module files, it's still somewhat hidden, and you know, people might not complain about it. But by really separating them at the file system level, we try to enforce a better separation of both. Another advantage is that because we move the theme functions out of the modules will actually get smaller, and therefore they're likely to improve the memory footprint and maybe even the execution time of Drupal, because Drupal or PHP has to load less code and parse less code for each page request. So right now, cool. It sort of works, but it's not faster yet. So we're still working on the performance issues, but the actual system works. So
very cool. What are the other sort of things that that you're seeing in the future for Drupal and that you're excited about? I mean, from on the core level, and then I guess sort of peripheral contribution stuff as well.
So one of the cool new things we're working on is the install system. And Civic Space in specific has been working on this lately. And the idea is, to make it easier for people to install Drupal, obviously. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to add a graphical user interface which you can use to install Drupal. And also part of that is going to be some form of requirement checking, so we can actually check whether your hosting environment will be capable of running Drupal and these selected modules.
Oh, cool.
So that's something really nice. And then lastly, there's going to be support for install profiles. And the idea is that upon installation, you can select a certain install profile for your website, and then we'll try to pre-configure your website with that install profile in mind. Like, for example, if you want to create a corporate-style website, we might choose to enable the page module to set up regular pages, the contact module to set up a contact form, and maybe the upload form module, rather, to make it possible to upload documents. Whereas if you choose to create a sort of a discussion website, then there could be a discussion website profile, for example, and then we might choose to enable the forum module and stuff like that. So, and the idea is also that other people could start creating install profiles.
Right. And so does this sort of lead to different Drupal distributions that download with different modules?
Right. Yeah, that's one of the goals, to make it easier for people to create Drupal distributions, and also to make it easier to maintain them. Like Civic Space has done a lot of work to create their distribution, because Civic Space is a Drupal distribution. For them, it's going to hopefully simplify the maintenance part.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, definitely making Drupal easier to install is a good thing.
And it's even going to be useful in like internal situations, like say you work at a big company and you have different department sites. You could create an install profile which allows you to quickly roll out new websites for new departments, for example. So you could create your own internal install profiles, which allows you to set up Drupal sites really quickly. So that's the idea.
Cool. Very cool. What else you got?
Some of the things that would love to see integrated in Drupal are the CCK and the Views module. I don't think it will happen overnight, and it might not be ready by the next Drupal version, but I think we should start working on that. I think we should start working on it now so we can set the train in motion, so to speak, because I think these are really important for the future of Drupal. So maybe I should quickly explain what the CCK and the views module are. Or,
please.
Okay. So the CCK, which stands for Content Construction Kit, is a set of modules which allow you to create new node types through the administration interface. So right now, if you want to create a new node type, you have to actually write a module for that or use the FlexiNode module. And so the CCK is a mechanism to make it easy or possible to create node types through the administration interface, which is going to make Drupal a lot more accessible to users because you no longer need a developer to create a custom content type.
Right.
And the views module is a little bit special module, but it's best to think of it as a query builder, which allows you to create custom views of content. Like for example, you could use it to create a page that shows all the blog entries from a certain user that talk about a certain topic and that you haven't read yet. For example, you can create complex queries and then choose a visualization mechanism for the content which is retrieved by that query.
Wow.
Yeah. And a combination of both is really a powerful mechanism to quickly build sites.
Yeah, they both really solve a lot of problems. I mean, being able to just sort of add extra fields and add pages that show lists of certain types of nodes or certain nodes of a certain criteria or something like that. I mean,
exactly. In a way, it's like base functionality of a content management system. These modules let you manage content.
right. Yeah, totally.
So.
But it's abstracted in a way that's really, really flexible.
Right. Yes. So we'll see what happens with that. The problem with those modules is that they're really complex, and integrating them into core is pretty much like a heart transplantation. It's a big sweeping change, and therefore I think it will take us several Drupal releases to actually get all of the stuff into core.
Right.
And it's also, we also need people to work on that. So it takes a lot of time and effort, and it's not obvious to find enough people who actually want to make it happen.
Right. And then there's also just sort of what you can allow in a contributed module and then what you would want in core, in terms of user interface and stuff like that. And I mean, for people that when they first look at the views module interface, it's a bit daunting. And CCK is still growing.
Like, it's actually quite funny. I was at Barcamp Brussels a couple of weeks ago, and I showed them a demo of the CCK and the views module, and there were two groups of people. Like, on the one hand, you had people who could actually see through the ugly user interfaces of the view and actually understood the power of the views module and the CCK. And then on the other hand, you had lots of people who are just like being flabbergasted by everything, and they couldn't imagine them using a system like that.
Because
it was way too complex.
Sort of an overall thing with Drupal? I mean, there seems to be... Drupal sort of hasn't yet... how can I say this in a polite way? I mean, when you download and install Drupal, it's not beautiful. It's not it's not clear and easy, super easy to use and stuff like that. I mean, so I can understand that people would take a look at it and not get it, not see the power of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, what are there? What's your thinking around all that?
Well, I mean, it's true, and I mean, you don't have to feel sorry for saying that. I mean, it's the truth, and there's, I mean, Drupal is not the most sexy system out there. It's one of the most powerful systems, but it's certainly not the easiest system or the most sexy system to use. Yeah, so what do we do about it? I mean, I'd love to make Drupal easier to use for people, and at the same time make it easier to develop for developers. But I think we need some fresh talent, or some people who are willing to help us get there. And one of the things we've been talking about at the last Drupal conference in Vancouver is to create a new core team, because we're all sick and tired of the default Drupal team. So, yeah, creating a new core team. Good. Add some sex to Drupal, so to speak.
So a new default theme. Yeah. This is something that, well, I've been actually involved in, I should mention.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we'll get it together so that it can get into 4.8. It's a lot of this stuff, and I'm sure that this is the problem. I mean, for people that come to Drupal who might be new to the project or something, I think there's sort of this feeling that like, well, why doesn't it do this? Well, why doesn't it? Why isn't it beautiful? And why? And the reason is because people haven't had time to make it that way. It's not necessarily that there's not the intent or whatever, but I mean, like, I know that, you know, we've got a lot of paying work at Lullabot, and so it's sort of difficult to find the time to spend that I would like to spend on some of these things, and so we're still sort of trying to find that balance, I think, as a community as well, sort of trying to find ways that we can maybe raise money for some of these kind of things, so that would be exciting.
I mean a default core team is really important, because I mean it's all about the first impression, right? So the better the first impression, the happier people will be. And then the other fun thing is, like, I mean, if you create a good-looking core team, if you manage to get your team into core, I mean, it's a huge, I mean, for people or companies, I mean, it adds a lot of visibility for their company or for them personally, right? Because, I mean, it means that it's going to be used by thousands of people, so I'm hoping that would be
that some incentive for people, designers, companies. I mean, well, just so that we say it. Yeah. I mean, theming in Drupal is one of the most sought after. I mean, to find really good Drupal themers and sort of design and stuff like that, because that stuff's not happening in Drupal. And so I think that there is a great advantage for someone to create some really, really great Drupal themes and put them out there, that basically I think that their phone will just ring off the hook with as much work as they would ever want, because I think people will not only appreciate it, but I think that there's paying work out there doing this kind of stuff that that people are looking for.
Yep.
So there you go. That's the sales pitch on Drupal theming.
Let's hope it works.
Yes, we'll see. what are there other things on your radar out there?
Well, there's so much happening. I mean, there's so many things I would like to see happen. Whether they happen or not remains to be seen. Like, one of the things I think are really important for Drupal is further improvements in the internationalization world. Like, right now it's possible to translate the user interface through the Locale module. But what's really important for many people is that they're actually able to translate contents. So not just the user interface, but also the actual content of their website.
Right.
And so I'm really hoping that at some point we can get the internationalization stuff into Drupal core. There's currently a module in the contributions repository, and I'm hoping that we can improve that, or, you know, get it ready for Drupal core. I haven't actually looked at the recent version yet, so
the I18N module, right?
Correct.
I, and then there's 18 letters, N, internationalization.
Yeah.
That's that's the code. But yeah, yeah, that's some really cool stuff. And there's also, I mean, just some sort of really exciting possibilities about an internationalizable content management system. Definitely.
Indeed. I mean, there's a huge. I mean, I can see it in Belgium. There's so many people asking for it. It's and it could be a real differentiator for Drupal,
right?
Compared to many of the other systems.
Right, and a lot of countries have laws about having multilingual content.
Yeah.
I know that's a thing in Canada, and I would guess in probably some countries like Belgium, there's issues around that as well. So,
yeah, lots of stuff to do. And something else is image handling or image and document handling in Drupal core. It's also been on the to-do list for a very long time. We've been talking about it, but unfortunately, we haven't had the time yet to actually get a lot of code written. So if people want to help with that, it would also be much appreciated. So what we hope to do here is, you know, is just general improvements to the file API and to the upload module to make it easier to manage any kind of document in Drupal core. Images or PDF documents or whatnot. And it also shows from the download statistics that the image modules are the most popular modules which are being used and downloaded. So it makes a lot of sense to move some of the image stuff into Drupal core and make it available for more people. So
cool. Yeah, definitely.
Also my personal wish list, but again, whether it will happen or not doesn't depend on me. It's, I mean, either it happens or not. It's essentially
But I think that there's always that thing when someone sits down, when a developer sits down to spend a lot of time doing work on a module, they want to know if it's going to be, if people are going to care, if people are going to appreciate it, if Drupal's going to use it, if there's a chance that it might get into core or any of that kind of stuff. And so I think it's really important to know what you're thinking about and what's important to you and maybe the other people sort of at the core of Drupal. You know, there's just that thing, like, you know, when I first came in, I didn't want to insult anyone by saying, hey, this is ridiculous. It doesn't handle images well. And have people say, well, no, this is exactly how we want it to be. But then I started to realize that it's an ongoing process and it's still getting there.
Yeah, Drupal isn't finished. It's an increment. I mean, we go by incremental improvements and every version improves upon the previous version, but that doesn't mean that we're all happy with the current version. I mean, there's so many things we would like to do and so many improvements which could actually make it into Drupal that we essentially have worked for years to come. So
right. And but it also, are you feeling like, I mean, I've been saying that Drupal right now really feels like it's at the beginning of an exponential growth curve. Are you feeling that way too? I mean,
it's hard to say. I mean, we've been growing exponentially for a while now. And I think at some point that exponential growth will actually change into a linear growth. That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the product lifecycle of many products, whether they're open source or not, it usually goes into a bell. Or, yeah, I don't know how to call it in English, like...
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a bell curve, yeah.
Yeah, a bell curve. So you really have exponential growth when the project is young and when it's being adopted by, well, early adopters. And then at a certain point, the project becomes bigger and bigger, and then it will slow down, and then it will reach the top of the bell, and that's when... the late adopters... start using the product. But I mean, again, in open source it all works differently, and because we keep making big changes to Drupal and because we keep improving the APIs, it actually makes sure or prevents that we reach the top of the bell. so to speak. I mean,
well, I guess it's just a downhill slide from there.
No, I mean, not necessarily, but yeah, if you have well, to.
It just seems like there's more and more websites coming out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Built on Drupal and more developers getting involved and stuff like that. It's
absolutely. I mean, we're in a. I mean, it's the growth has been pretty crazy, and so far we're still going, you know, very strong. We're getting on the radar of bigger projects every day. So everything is well. I certainly didn't want to make it seem as we're going to like stop growing or something, but I mean, the natural tendency is to, you know, at certain points in time, your growth will stagnate.
Right. Right. And what you're saying is you're a realist. You're not, you know, you don't have these sky high beliefs that like I do.
I mean, nothing is eternal, right? I mean, someday there will be better technology to do what we do in a much simpler way.
Right.
Like, maybe there will be a new programming language, or maybe there will be, you know, whatever. Something which makes it a lot easier to create something equivalent to Drupal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
it will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a matter of years. I mean, it's not a. It won't happen next
Thursday.
Well,
and one of the things that's really interesting in open source, and I've heard this people say this as well, is that it's not necessarily about who's doing it best so much as who's doing it. In that it's like, well, Drupal exists now. And people are talking about, you know, well, we could build, you know, something with the Ruby on Rails framework, a content management system that could really kick ass. And that, mm-hmm. it's very possible. But I know that Drupal has done a lot of thinking about, I don't know, everything from taxonomy to event handling and time zone support. And I mean, and just a lot of that thinking has really very little to do with the PHP and the framework and stuff like that. I mean, it's just sort of logical figuring things out and making it happen and make it work. And it exists.
Right.
And that there's really some power in it just existing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to compare Drupal with Ruby on Rails because, I mean, we have a lot of pre-built modules which you can like plug together and you have a site up and running. You don't have to actually be a developer necessarily to use Drupal. So
right on.
Yeah. I mean, like Darwin says, I mean, those who will survive are those who are most capable of adapting, right? So as long we can adapt to changes, we'll continue growing. So
well, that seems a great place to finish it off. Nothing like a Darwin quote to finish out a podcast. So right on. So great. Well, thanks so much for talking with us. I'm sure that this is a conversation that just could go on and on and on. And,
for hours.
And it will. And it will. And so, but thanks, Dries, so much for being on the podcast.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.